face the screens in such a way that you can see. Marge can address people. We'd like to welcome Marge back. We missed him over the day. We haven't seen him today, so this is our first opportunity to hear from him. So please, kindly hold here with rapt attention. Hand over to Maharaj.
Yes. So, Hare Krishna, everyone. I'm with you in one mind that we have enough of Zoom conferences, but the circumstances of my particular health make it most wise to do it like this. We have seen there were some cases of COVID in the Krishna society meeting, at the marriage. Individual devotees got it. Even here in Brunston, there were such cases visible. So I just don't want, I feel also a few symptoms. And I don't want to give them to you who are healthy and inspired and enthusiastic. Good. So, but we have Zoom, so we can discuss a little bit what I wanted to share with you. Remember, the theme of my presentations is the magic of sadhana. What is magic? Magic is an extraordinary force that can make things which are not possible by the laws of nature, of, let us say, the laws of one nature, possible. And in the same way, sadhana is... or let us say, amongst the sadhanas, there are powerful processes that can affect changes that are not possible in any other ways, that are not possible by the laws of this world, and so on. However, the sadhana has to be done properly, and for that we have this seminar. We want to give tips how you can take a new approach to your sadhu sangha and to your nam kirtan, and in this way can also see the magic of sadhana. I want to again say, you have to do it properly. I have had a very interesting experience today. I was making a walk, this roundabout walk. There's a beautiful path that leads around our property, and it brings you to a bench. So when I was, so I sat down on the bench, I was a little bit, how do you say, weakened by my present unwellness, but I decided, let me chant properly. Let me chant according to the guidelines which I will share today with the devotees. And I noticed as I was chanting like this, first a white swan and a black swan came just very close to me and enjoyed the sound vibration of the chanting. They lost their shyness as animals, but they were embedded in the sound vibration. And then... although I was physically not so well, I could experience great spiritual well-being, the feeling of being very close to Krishna. and greeting Krishna really within my heart. So yes, let me today focus on Naam Kirtan, chanting the holy name together with devotees. And let me share with you a few, let me say, observations how this could work very nicely. I must see, there is one Vrinda Sundari from the army. Her name is Ami, I believe. Is that all right, Radhika Ranjan? Is this, or have I lost you? Let me.
I can hear you. Everything is fine.
Good. Fine. Today I want to explore ways and means in which you can access the magic of Kirtan. Let us, however, go a step back. We were talking about transformation or becoming a new or better version of ourselves. What are the dynamics of change? Well, it's very, very simple. The principle is you remove yourself from the world, you unplug, so to say. That can mean you control your mind, you do not allow mental chatter while you chant, and so on. And you fill in the gap that has opened now, powerful spiritual practices that are full of the Chladini and Samvit Shakti, or in one word, the Bhakti Shakti. So first you must create a gap, and then you must fill the gap to your material life and your material thoughts. And then by the power of these powerful processes, you will be able to see a significant change. Now, Kirtan is described to be the most powerful of these processes of sadhana. Kirtan comes from the root word kirt, or to glorify. And I want to ask the question, why do we glorify Krishna and his holy name? And for what do we glorify Krishna and his holy name? Once we understand these two questions, we can enter the sadhana in a more complete form. Why is the first question. Why do this at all? There is a verse in the 12th canto. It says, Kala dosha nide rajan, which gives an answer to this question. Asti heko mahan guna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha param vajet. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there's still one good quality about this age. It's an ocean of faults. There are many things which go wrong. But one thing is good. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Let us for a moment focus on this. Simply by chanting, my dear devotees, it is possible for you to become free from your conditionings. That these are the things which hold you and bind you to your old persona. And it can actually act, the chanting, like an upaya, a powerful means that can bring you to the kingdom of God. Sometimes we hear in the world Ganesh Kirtans or Shiva Kirtans, but the Bhagavatam says that certainly Eva, Krishna must be glorified. Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya. I think everyone has seen how powerful Kirtan is, and therefore other lines and other traditions have also incorporated Kirtan. But according to the Bhagavatam, Eva is certainly Krishna's, Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya. Krishna's name must be chanted. And that has a reason. You remember we asked two questions. Why do we glorify Krishna in Kirtan? And the answer is, by this process you can become free from your conditioning and go ultimately make that journey to Krishna himself. And now we will ask the question, for what do we glorify Krishna? Jiva Goswami gives us an answer. He says, because he's just so beautiful. He's so courageous. He's so knowledgeable. Sorry. He is so knowledgeable. And he is capable of the supermost form of action. No, this is... you have four things which you glorify. He's so beautiful. That refers to his rupa. Krishna is so beautiful that when the cowherd boys don't see him for only a moment, they develop symptoms of fainting and stupor. He has a great quality. He's courageous. For him, there is no problem even bringing a dead man back to life by going to the hellish planets. You know, Krishna actually did this. He brought the boy, or the son of his teacher, Sandipani Muni, back from the hellish planets. That requires some courage to go there, no? And he is capable of the supermost form of action. That refers to his leelas. He is was lifting the Govardhan hill and holding the hill in balance for 7 days. But Krishna, of course, has many other actions. He's the source of all sources. All the energies emanate from him, and so on. Jiva Goswami says Krishna is so beautiful that by his beauty he has set up a trap by which he has captured the whole world. My dear devotees, I sometimes think, if I could only see a little of Krishna's beauty, it could be the light which is surrounding his toenails in a circular or mandala form. If one can see that, then all the inner darkness will just disappear instantaneously. So for what do we glorify Krishna? Because he's wonderful. And this brings me to a very important point that we have seen in our Govardhan retreat. My dear devotees, it's very important if you wish to chant rounds that are filled with a deep taste in Krishna, you must inform yourself a little bit about Krishna, his pastimes, how he is, how he thinks, what are his qualities. And then it is very easy for you to remember Krishna. I always remember when I'm chanting Krishna's compassionate nature. Krishna had expressed this nature to Gop Kumar when Gop Kumar returned to Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna had said, every day I was looking down the path and I was hoping to see you, but you did not show even a small inclination towards me. Therefore, I could not break my timeless rules and interfere with your freedom. But now you have come. Please stay here and enjoy with me. Do not leave ever again. I like this compassion. I like to hear how Krishna has an interest even in me, how he loves me, how he is ready to shower his deep feelings of affection on me. So these are reasons why we glorify Krishna. Now, Jiva Goswami writes very beautifully about chanting, and he says, chanting is a process whereby which the deity is magnified. Have you ever seen a magnifying glass in action? You hold it to something that is very small, and then by the power of the magnifying glass, that small object is magnified and takes great and very visible proportions. When you do kirtan to Krishna with these proper orientation, that you think about his qualities, his pastime and his form, then you can really make good. You can be overcome with devotional feelings. If this is difficult for you to think of Krishna's form and beauty and his qualities and so on, there is another very easy way to become mindful of Krishna and magnify Krishna by kirtan. And that is to chant before his deity form. So I will show you something. I have a picture of Radha Madhava from Mayapur, and I'm chanting my japa when I travel before these deities. When I'm at home, I chant my japa before Radha Kanhaiya Lal. I want to show this to you. Yes, here it is. You know, I'm seeing Radha and Madhava, and then I go to the lotus feet, and I see the lotus feet. And in this way, I stop what is called the biggest problem in chanting, that is disconnected chanting, where your sound vibration just goes somewhere and you are not at all connected with Krishna. You are maybe only connected with the melody, but that is not very pleasing for long time. So when you do kirtan, and I'm almost coming to the end, you need to have a full immersion of body, mind and heart. And here it gets complicated. Our body is usually lazy. It does not want to sit down and sing so loud. Our mind is distracted. I think we heard yesterday Shiti Shakti's excellent presentation about the, let me say, the scars that social media leaves with us. We should call it scarring media. So our mind is often distracted. No, yes. And our heart tends to be indifferent. Oh, yeah, I know Krishna's name is there, Krishna is there, but I'm not, I'm indifferent, I really don't care so much, and so on. So when you chant, my dear devotees, either in kirtan or japa, you must be aware that your body, mind and heart will offer some resistance. It will offer some resistance. Laziness, I find distractedness in my case the greatest obstacle, and also indifference. My heart does not care. My heart or my emotions care for so many other things, but and of course there are now ways to deal with this. Laziness is when you want to chant your japa again in a nice way, you have to start getting up early. There is simply no better way, no easier way, because when you get up early, the mind is still relatively free, the day is peaceful, you're not so much distracted. If you want to overcome the distractedness of your mind, you have to start by listening to each syllable. Please join me and let us do this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Nama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. And if you want to overcome difference, find in indifference, sorry, if you want to overcome indifference, find out how wonderful Krishna is from the authorized scriptures, from the books which you have access to, and that will be very, very, very good for you. So, yes, kirtan should be a total immersion. And I want to share today a story from the real Madhava. I think a few of us have heard about Sri Madhava. He was, I think he appeared in the 15th century, and he liked kirtan like anything. The real Madhava was always singing and dancing, and sometimes when there were particular events, when he would dance for the pleasure of the Lord, he would put anchor bells around his feet to enhance the melodious appearance of him. I don't know. I have never seen this in ISKCON, and I don't think I will be confident to introduce this, but the idea here was he put the anchor bells for the hearing pleasure of the Lord to whom he was chanting. So once the king of Gada Gada had heard about the real Madhava, and he thought there are no real devotees in this day and age. Was a little bit like, you know, he was a little like the Brahmana who came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, I don't believe that there are any real Vaishnavas in this age of Kali. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrected him, and he said, you are suffering from aparadha, and the only way you can become free from this covering of your perception so that you cannot see any devotees is if the same tongue which you use in order to blaspheme devotees, if that same tongue is used to glorify devotees. So the king was a little bit like this. He had blasphemed the real Madhava and all other devotees. But his offense came to a climax. He wanted to show how fake the real Madhava is. And therefore, he invited him for a kirtan gathering. But listen to the kirtan gathering. It had been arranged on the top of a three-story building. And as it was customary, the real Madhava climbed up. I mean, not as it was customary, the real Madhava climbed up to the top of this roof. He put the anchor bells around his ankles and he started to chant. And soon he felt a surge or a current of real ecstatic emotions, which created delightful feelings in him of devotion, of ecstatic appreciation of Krishna, and of realizing Krishna. So he became so overwhelmed with these divine emotions that he started to reel. He came close to the edge of the roof. There was no fence purposefully. No fence was put there. And he actually fell from the third story down. And he fell directly into a huge pot of boiling oil in which the king's men cooked prakoras for the Sankirtan event. You know, they wanted to serve the pakoras at the end of the Sankirtan performance. So he fell right into boiling oil. I don't know if anyone of you has ever seen a person that has fallen into, or that has poured some oil over his body. I saw once. And I was horrified because it's so painful and the skin comes off the body. But when the real Madhava fell into this boiling pot of oil, the oil evaporated. I don't know what happened with the pakoras. And he was safe. When the king witnessed how Krishna had protected the real Madhava, he must have remembered Draupadi, who had called out in great anguish to Krishna, "Oh Madhava, oh Janardana, please save me from these indecent men who are trying to take the cloth from my body. Krishna always protects a devotee. I remember in Assam, they tell you a famous story about a lady who went to a marriage. Marriage, what is it called? Marriage event. And as she was in the rickshaw, she was very much dressed in her fineries. The rickshaw driver all of a sudden goes into a little field path, a path that goes through the field, and the lady knows what the rickshaw driver intends to do. He will drive a little bit more into the fields and then will overwhelm her and eventually take all her fineries from her and kill her. So she started to, she remembered Draupadi and chanted, Govinda, Govinda, Gopal, Gopal, Gopal. She ran from the, she jumped from the rickshaw and ran through the field until she came to a well, and she then jumped in the well. It was not a deep well, it was only hip deep. So when people came the next day to work on the fields, they saw a rickshaw which was turned upside down. They saw the rickshaw driver with foam on his mouth, and they noticed in his leg the marks of the teeth of a powerful snake. But what was even more shocking was when they looked into the well where this lady was, Govinda, Govinda, Gopala, she had chanted the whole night. When they looked there, they saw the lady was surrounded by a snake who just swam around her and protected her. My dear devotees, many devotees have told how Kirtan, even in a desperate situation, protects the devotee, because Krishna comes to the help of such a devotee. Prabhupada writes, in the Mahabharata, Krishna says, when I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, please cry also, Hey Govinda! Oh, you're not crying. Hey, Govinda. Yeah. And then he said, Prabhupada continues, this call for me has put me in her debt, and that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart. And then he concludes, the Maha Mantra is also simply an address to the Lord and His energy. So to anyone who's constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and His energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. So this is and what I wanted to share with you so far. I wanted to share what Kirtan does and for what qualities we should worship Krishna. That means while you chant, you should be Krishna conscious. That's very, very important. I wanted to also talk about the fine-tuning of a Kirtan devotee. He has to overcome the obstacles given by what? Yes. Yes, it starts, you are already listening a little, but it starts with a body. There's laziness, Then the next is mind, and the last is heart. What is the obstacle in the heart? Indifference. Yes, we don't care. And I think the only way to overcome this indifference that is there since many lifetimes is we need to hear about Krishna and about his qualities and so on. So if we overcome this and surrender to Krishna, Krishna will help us, as we could see from the example of the real Madhava, Draupadi, and a more modern example, this lady from Assam. I could also share a lot of stories how Krishna has protected me. I remember things, my dear devotees, like being in accidents that were just so gruesome. And you know, when you are in an accident, everything moves in slow motion and you become aware of every detail that leads ultimately to the crash and sometimes to your death. I was in such slow motion accidents, and I have learned to always send Krishna when there is a difficult situation. And you can see I'm still here in relatively good shape, and the sense of, I can do everything. There is one rule, and this will be the end of our program, that I have discovered in chanting my japa and kirtan. And if you want to know which rule I personally keep always, I do different things at different times, but what I always do is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has detailed as a practice in Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Lila 23:76. He says, one achieves perfection in chanting the mantra. This is important, no? To achieve perfection in chanting the holy names. When one keeps the vibrated sound within his heart and controls the materially attached mind. What you do is simply, you bring your attention to the sound vibration of the holy name and you keep your attention there. And when you should see that the mind will wander, as it will, you bring it back to the place in the heart. And you need to do this maybe for a few years, and then it becomes second nature, and you can almost everywhere, even in a driving car, be focused on the holy name. Sutapa Prabhu, who will come to us tomorrow, has said, attention leads to attraction, and attraction leads to attachment. I think we can all see this when we are attentive to the holy name, that is leads to attraction, and that will lead to attachment. But distraction, on the other side, leads to disinterest. And if I'm disinterested in the chanting, my dear devotees, then I will disengage sooner or later. I will disengage. So I would like to now end this program by making a little exercise Radhika Ranjan, are you still there?
Yes, Maharaj.
Good. So can you maybe, when I finish the exercise, go into a kirtan with the devotees, slow and somewhat meditative kirtan, in which they do what I'm guiding them to do. Yes? So it is good if you already go to a harmonium and maybe abhay. I don't see you very clearly. He goes already and picks the madanga up, and maybe there's a katal player as well, because we have to go seamlessly into the kirtan. That's very important. Radhika Ranjan, when I will raise my hand like this, this means I'm requesting you to start the kirtan. Good, 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 good. And please do it for about, not so long, 7 minutes, like this, because we want to see if there are questions. Before japa or kirtan, please do the following. Sit tall with your spine erect. You remember in that famous japa tape, Prabhupada reminds the devotees, sit properly. Wonderful. Now, center yourself. Collect your thoughts and arrive in the present moment. You're in this beautiful hall. You're in this Pandavasena retreat. Please let go of your other thoughts, your experiences, your plans, maybe even worries. And tell yourself, I'm now going to chant and sing in kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord. I want to give him pleasure. For those who like, take a few deep breaths. Our breath always connects us to the present moment. And now, bring your attention to the innermost core of your heart. It's simple, you can breathe in and imagine your ingoing breath is moving down, not just to the lungs, but to the innermost core of your heart. Close your eyes and breathe into the heart. Tell yourself, it is deep within my heart of hearts that I, as the spirit soul, reside, and the Lord is also there. And offer a prayer to the Lord. A prayer like this one. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I'm turning to you. I wish to offer this chanting to you for your pleasure. please accept me. Please engage me in your service.